Welcome, this is William Evans, and you're listening to Shifting Gears. Our guest today is Brooke LeVan, co-founder of Sustainable Settings, and this is the second part of his New Year's report to KDNK listeners on the condition of the ranch and the state of the world. Welcome, Brooke.
Hey, everybody. Good to be here.
Can you put into words for us your relationship with Source?
Well, by source, do you mean water, or do you mean spirit, or all of that?
Everything that you see within the realm of source.
Everything.
Everything.
That's everything.
Well, no, I don't think everything is source. I think source is disappearing.
And everything is a portal into source. Right?
That's good.
A rock, a mineral, a river, a stream, a drop of the water, a breath. Any object is a portal into source. This pine cone on the table. They're all windows for us to, change our limited perspective, be able to enter into and understand better the larger patterns and how living things are connected.
Does being in relationship with Source require you to hold a paradox?
Paradox, if there's a paradox for me, it's me getting past my limited sense of what my senses are.
Yeah, are a big deal, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, there are not five or six senses. There's more like 12. Or more.
So being in relationship with Source involves your senses?
Absolutely. It involves my body, a sense of touch, of life, of movement and of balance. And it also involves my perception of the external world, which is more like smell, taste, sight, and temperature. And then there's the immaterial or the spiritual world. So hearing, speech, thought, and ego are those senses.
How do you maintain a relationship with Source? Because there's a lot of people who want to distract you from being in relationship with Source.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you could say, you said people, but there's a lot of entities. And they could be corporate, or they could be cultural, social. You could say people are continually bombarding us with distractions, right? So that we can't listen. It's noise, and we're blocked from it. So our senses are blocked, or we have to be better about protecting our perceptions. And our, it's about evolution. And if I'm distracted by a bunch of other junk, then I'm not able to be in connection, or as you say, with Source, or we're in relationship either way. Those who are distracted are in relationship, so to speak. Love is a relationship, hate's a relationship, and ignore is a relationship. So a beneficial or evolutionary relationship is what I'm interested in, if that makes sense.
Well, totally it makes sense to me. And for me, it was helpful to learn to hold a paradox. And that is because if Source and a living world story are part of the paradox, I was educated to learn how the world of scarcity and domination by money keeps me from being connected to Source.
Absolutely.
And so that paradox is, it was a big step for me to be able to do that.
Well, I get it. And that's constantly there, isn't it? It's in the media. It's, you know, we're being bombarded to keep us in a place like that.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a friend recently, and you know, we ask each other, how are you doing?
And that's a big question.
And what I said, it depends who I listen to.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, maybe this gets at it, but kind of the major problems in the world. This is Gregory Bateson. Do you know Gregory Bateson?
Sure.
Yeah. He says the major problems in the world are the result of the difference between how nature works and how people think. Sounds like a duh, you know, but our perceptions of reality are quite limited and askew. And so when, because of that, we don't see the brilliance in the dynamic before us that's in nature. And so we break it. We run over it, we break it, we're not paying attention. I don't know how intentional it is, to be honest. I'll give everybody the benefit of the doubt. We could say somebody's evil and intentionally taking from and never returning to nature what the gifts that it brings us. But return's a pretty important thing, you know. There's really never something separate from something else.
No, everything's connected.
Yeah, so.
Well, my relationship with Source has given me the opportunity to heal my balance and intention and choice of words. And in short, it's given me the wonderful experience of healing some of my relationships.
Okay. Which are whole being perceptions. They're not surface. You know, we're kind of like stuck on the surface of things. And when you do that, when you do what you're talking about, you know, tell me if you agree, but you're allowing your whole being to perceive.
And what you perceive is it's an and world.
Exactly.
Rather than an either or world.
Right. Correct? Correct.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
There is this wonderful guy named Theodore Schwenk. He explained in an either-or world, a way of thinking directed solely to profit cannot perceive the vital coherence of all things in nature.
You know, I've been thinking about commodification, the word. And to be quite honest, I've never been interested in making money or what I have to do in the human economy to make money.
Hey, and I just ask you for our listeners to repeat that, because it's given you the freedom to see things and do things other people couldn't believe were possible. But you have never been really interested in making a lot of money.
No. I raise money so that I can do my experimental research, and that we can demonstrate that, you know, what we are capable of as beings. You know? That's a fundamental question at Sustainable Settings, is what are we capable of? That's what we're interested in.
And you have to manage your funds to survive,
yeah,
and do that.
We got it. We need a carburetor for the tractor or tires. We got to live in the human economy. But what we're doing is opting out as much as possible. And so for the last 25 years, we've been navigating the knife edge of the human economy and nature's economy. Nature's economy works.
And it is a knife edge.
It is a knife edge.
To travel that ridge.
And so I opt out. I checked, I was going to buy optout.com, but somebody already got it.
Probably Joel Salatin.
Probably. Yeah.
So So language is huge, and corruption reveals itself first in language.
That's glaringly obvious, usually, but yeah.
And corruption of language is a form of deception.
And it's rooted in commodification. Sorry, I'm on that track right now.
I think we're maybe on parallel trails or on the same one. Because along with the corruption of language, of course, goes the corruption of truth.
Cutting corners, profit.
And what you're
cheating.
What you're dealing with out at Sustainable Settings is healing the truth.
Healing the truth. I guess so.
The land has a truth.
And yeah.
It's got an integrity.
Interesting way to put it, healing the truth. We're honoring the relationship and working out of a place of, you know, through our hearts and intention with all of the life that we co-create with. That reveals the truth. But we're healing the truth. To me, it all goes back to flavor.
To slavery.
Flavor. You can't deny that. Right? Real flavor, you can't deny. It's, you know, this gets into how do we measure. How do we measure or gauge the world around us? What do we value? And
does truth have a recognizable flavor?
Oh yeah, for sure. It's epiphany, usually.
And
it's a waking truth.
And in the beginning of America, one of the founding fathers reminded us the whole of government consists in the art of being honest.
Yeah. You mean the Constitution that was written for white guys who own land?
That was part of it.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the flavor of your intention and your choice of words in this time? Does intention have a flavor?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Well, talk a little bit about that.
It's also relative to the different aspects of the relationship. So that's the sweetness, is the viva la difference, you know, right? The flavor. It's the expression. Peak flavor, or I call it cosmic nutrition, happens at a fleeting moment when the entire orchestra is playing their part perfectly. You know, all of the life we farm and ranch with. And so when that comes together, it's that epiphanal peak flavor or expression in all of the life come together in the most harmonious and balanced way. I don't know if that's answering your question.
That's helpful. So, what's really extraordinary to me is when a population of people do this on a large scale, and I've talked to you about the Buffalo Treaty, the International Buffalo Treaty, where the Blackfoot Nations balanced their relationship with Source in a big way and communicated in big circles for a long time and involved large environments and multiple watersheds and a high level of intelligence.
Is that a question?
Well, it's an observation. I told you it's very meaningful to me.
Yeah.
To see a collective population capable of doing that now. Real time.
So are you questioning whether we have the will to do that?
I would certainly value your opinion about whether we have the will to do that.
That's a good question. Do we, will we wake up? We could do it. I'm convinced we can do it. And I'm convinced that, human beings are amazing beings. And we have way more available to us than we're taught. And I think we can build fertility and abundance and harmony and balance. Again, we've proved that at sustainable settings in the last 25 years. And the soil data tells us one thing, the flavor tells us another thing. When people come to the ranch, they feel it. They want to be there. They don't want to leave. Things like that. So there's other ways to measure that. And it's, so in other words, it's possible. I'm convinced of that. But the forces against that, or as you call it, the dichotomy or the paradox of it all, is that dominant culture is pushing us in another direction. And, they want us just shy of health. They want us distracted, right? And they don't really, what we're talking about, we're dangerous, You and I are dangerous to their agenda. And anybody who's thinking, they don't want you to think. So if I value anything on the ranch and this whole thing that we've done the last 25 years, it's the headspace and the freedom for us to explore that freedom of will, and our will is powerful, and putting that into good use and demonstrating that we can again collaborate in relationship with nature.
This is KDNK, and you're listening to a conversation with Brooke Levan about Source. What can you tell us about your relationship with the mountain?
By the mountain, you mean what people call Mount Sopris around here?
Right.
What is my relationship?
Yes.
Before I go into this, I think everyone has a relationship with that mountain. If you live here, there's some level of relationship you have with it, I think.
I totally agree. I don't think anybody in the valley doesn't have a relationship with the mountain.
So let's start from that place. Personally, my relationship...
The mountain heart sits there.
Or the sacred heart of the mountain sits there, whatever. However you interpret those things. But... she sometimes really sings out loud and shouts, and other times she's subdued. And it's not just about cloud cover. It's an internal glow that periodically she gains. And I think it cycles. It's alive. So you asked me to put together some words that might help explain my relationship with the mountain. So awe. I'm totally in awe of the power of that entity. It's alive. The mountain's alive for me. I can only speak for myself. For me, it's a connection or it's a portal that helps me find and work in relationship with all the other forms and forces on the ranch, from earthly to cosmic. She holds a regenerative vitality, a revitalizing force, and she's mostly silica. And silica is a conduit of light. So I see, or I sense, she is a mirror of are a receiver and a broadcaster of the mother polarity. So she's Earth, but she's silica too. Silica is more about light, but she's bringing light in to the Earth. So she's like an antenna. So I say she's a receiver or a broadcaster in the mother polarity, reflecting the mother of all mothers' influences. It's a powerful thing to me. Does that make sense? I don't know.
And what I hear is you're in resonance with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I assume gratitude and thanksgiving are a big deal in that.
Oh, yeah. It's an honor to know her. And I'm always in gratitude. If I'm not, I know, I hear about it.
Well, and when you remember it, the quality of the relationship comes alive and is enhanced, and it manifests in your balance and ability to concentrate your intention.
You know, I consult and I help other people find land or help them clean or work on their places with the biodynamics and other things that we do. And when I'm in California or in Mississippi or Louisiana, you know, wherever I am doing this work, we just went to Arizona, had some pretty powerful experiences. But I get to these other sites and I bring her with me, right? Or I'll call her back up when I'm working there, because it's all connected.
And you stay in connection with her even when you're in Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I've been in Brazil. And
you're still in relationship,
yes,
with her?
I think once you are, you are. I don't think it's limited ideas of space and time are not an issue. There's no space and time. So, yes.
So you educate a lot of children and adults that they're in relationship with Source and with the mountain.
Yes. Kind of, you could say, conceptual underpinnings for a lot of the educational programming.
And when...
is to help people, if they don't already know, find pathways to find more connection.
And would it be accurate to assume that when they experience that, what you're working at helping them become in contact with, they kind of respond that this is the hour they've been waiting for?
Well, we've been asked, you know, we're nonprofit, and so we've been asked in the past, you know, well, what are your deliverables? And so the real answer is epiphanies and changed lives.
And that's what I was asking about.
Yeah, exactly. So we hear about it. We have testimonials all over the place about, you know, one woman said a few years ago, I told my husband if he can't find me, I'm in sustainable setting. And the other families come and they say, my kids, they don't want to leave. I know. I should have warned you, small dogs and children don't load up very well. So, Will, thanks for having me over for the talk. And I want to thank you for your questions and for taking the time to talk, because you make me work. And just like your book, you know, you get at a lot of really important connections and help lift the veil. It's called what? Circulating Source?
Circulating Source Water.
Source Water, yeah. I recommend it, folks, if you can get a hold of it. I think is it on Amazon or whatever?
It is. It's also available at your shop.
Yeah, we sell it at the store, Ranch Store.
And at Mana Foods.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your kind words.
Yeah, no, thanks for, I'm trying to write something, so I have no idea how you've pulled off a book, but God bless you. I'll see what happens with me.
Yeah, I hope you're okay. Thank you, Brooke.
Thank you. It's good to talk.
You've been listening to a conversation with Brooke LeVan about human relationships with Source and with the mountain. This is KDNK. Thank you for listening.
One world, one heart, one love for all, one family. One love, we are all one family. One family. Yeah.